This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. JNSPG staff will read synopses of articles which have been published online this week. The full text versions of these articles can be found in the online and print versions of the journal.
Hello and welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for July 9th, 2010. I'm Paul Pugh and I will be reading synopses of one clinical article, one laboratory investigation, one case report, and one technical note published online today by the Journal of Neurosurgery. This clinical article is entitled Perfusion CT and CT Angiography in Evaluation of Extra-Intracranial Bypass Grafts. It was written by Swinka Langner and colleagues. Extracranial to intracranial bypass surgery remains an important treatment alternative for patients with occlusive cerebrovascular disease. The aim of the author's study was to use perfusion CT and CTA to evaluate cerebral hemodynamics and bypass patency after extracranial intracranial bypass surgery. 10 patients underwent perfusion CT and CTA before and after bypass surgery. Digital subtraction angiography served as the diagnostic gold standard. An artery bypass was established from the superficial temporal artery to a cortical branch of the middle cerebral artery. Perfusion maps of cerebral blood volume, cerebral blood flow, and time to peak at the basal ganglia were calculated. Preoperative perfusion CT showed significant time-to-peak prolongation and reduced cerebral blood flow of the affected hemisphere. CTA allowed adequate evaluation of the bypass and confirmed bypass patency in all patients. Postoperative perfusion CT demonstrated improved cerebral hemodynamics with a return to nearly normal perfusion parameters. In conclusion, CTA is a reliable, non-invasive tool for evaluating extracranial-intracranial bypasses. Perfusion CT provides monitoring of hemodynamic changes after bypass surgery. The combination of both examinations enables non-invasive anatomical and functional analysis of superficial temporal artery, middle cerebral artery, anastomosis using a single CT protocol. Hemodynamic evaluation may improve the prediction of outcome and may help identify patients in whom this bypass procedure can be performed. This case report is entitled, A Novel Solution to Reduce the Complications of Distal Shunt Catheter Displacement Associated with Obesity, a report of three cases. It was written by John F. Morrison and colleagues. Ventriculoperitoneal shunts are routinely used in neurosurgery to redirect cerebral spinal fluid from the brain to the abdomen. One common complication of this procedure, especially among patients with a high body mass index, is pseudomeningocele formation due to distal catheter migration, that is, retropulsion of the abdominal portion of the catheter from the peritoneal cavity. The authors describe a novel technique for repair of this complication that involves securing of the distal catheter to the anterior abdominal wall by snaking the tubing through a polytetrafluoroethylene abdominal hernia repair patch. This technique provides a stable platform to which the distal catheter can be anchored and allows reconstruction of the abdominal wall defect, preventing incisional hernia. The authors describe three cases in obese patients with pseudomeningocele in whom this technique was successfully used both to anchor the migrated distal catheter and to anatomically reconstruct the abdominal wall. This technical note is entitled Preservation of the Superior Petrosal Sinus During the Petrosal Approach. It was written by Ahmad Hafez and colleagues. The authors describe a technique that enables sparing of the superior petrosal sinus, SPS, during the performance of the petrosal approach. The premise behind this new technique is that, in certain cases in which the petrosal approach is used, the venous anatomy forbids sectioning the SPS and the tentorium. 5 alcohol-preserved cadaveric heads injected with colored silicone were used for bilateral dissection and demonstration of the technique. In this method, the tentorium under the SPS is separated from the meckel cave and lifted upward. This maneuver enables the surgeon to connect the middle fossa to the posterior fossa under the tentorium while partially transecting the tentorium and preserving the SPS. The method described was thoroughly investigated in cadavers and was subsequently applied during the resection of 2 petrochlival tumors in living patients. Total resection of a dumbbell-shaped trigeminal schwannoma in a 19-year-old woman and of a petrochlival meningioma in a 49-year-old man was achieved. In conclusion, this modification of the petrosal approach involving sparing of the SPS while partially transecting the tentorium is an effective means of providing good access to the petrochlival area through both the middle and posterior fossa in cases in which the venous anatomy mandates preservation of these structures. This laboratory investigation is entitled The Role of Hypoxia Inducible Factor 1 Alpha, Aquaporin 4, and Matrix Metalloproteinase 9 in Blood-Brain Barrier Disruption and Brain Edema After Traumatic Brain Injury. It was written by Tetsuhiro Higashida and colleagues. In this study, the authors used a rodent model to investigate the role of hypoxia-inducible factor 1 alpha, aquaporin 4, and matrix metalloproteinase 9 in blood-brain barrier permeability alterations and brain edema formation in diffuse traumatic brain injury. Inhibitors of aquaporin 4, matrix metalloproteinase 9, and hypoxia-inducible factor 1 alpha were given to rats 30 minutes after injury. 24 hours later, the rats' brains were examined for protein expression, blood-brain barrier permeability, and brain edema. Compared to controls who underwent a sham procedure without brain injury, brain-injured rats showed significantly enhanced expression of hypoxia-inducible factor 1 alpha, aquaporin 4, and matrix metalloproteinase 9, as well as reduced amounts of tight junction proteins. Inhibition of aquaporin 4, matrix metalloproteinase 9, or hypoxia-inducible factor 1 alpha resulted in significant reduction of edema. Blood-brain barrier permeability was significantly ameliorated after inhibition of either hypoxia-inducible factor 1 alpha or matrix metalloproteinase 9, but it was not affected after inhibition of aquaporin 4. Finally, although inhibition of hypoxia-inducible factor 1 alpha significantly suppressed the expression of both aquaporin 4 and matrix metalloproteinase 9, it significantly increased the expressions of tight junction proteins. The findings of this study support the thesis that hypoxia-inducible factor 1 alpha plays a role in brain edema formation and blood-brain barrier disruption via a molecular pathway involving aquaporin 4 and matrix metalloproteinase 9. The authors note that pharmacological blockade of this pathway in patients with traumatic brain injuries may provide a novel therapeutic strategy.
Thank you for listening. Sign up in iTunes to get all our weekly podcasts delivered straight to you. To read all the articles published by the JNSPG this week, or to visit our podcast archive, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.